Let's go into, or let's open up the precious word of God to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Now, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount for many, 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 many months. You might say, man, Pastor, when are we going to get finished? Well, we're getting there. And I've been trying to preach every Wednesday. This Sunday, Lord willing, I plan on preaching a message this Sunday morning right here in this passage of Scripture. And I'll start preaching Sunday on verse 24. So if you notice, we're getting close. We've only got a few more verses there. We're going to be finished with this series of messages. And I don't know, I think we're right at around 30 messages on the Sermon on the Mount that we've expounded upon. But today's a very important one. And if you remember the last time we were together on a Wednesday and I preached, and we preached on the Sermon on the Mount, we preached about false prophets. We preached and talked about and tried to teach about folks that were in error. God talked about them a lot here in chapter 7, verse number 15. Says, you shall know them by their fruits. In verse 16, he called them wolves. Then he talked about the fruit. We can tell people's lives by what fruit they bear. And so we understand the subject of the Lord. And so as he's teaching, we're going to go to another subject, but it's really with this subject of dealing with false prophets. So we've talked about fruit. Every tree, verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, so he talked about false prophets. He talked about how you can mark people, how you can pay attention to things, how you can be discerning and realize what people are about. What are they producing? Okay, now, I want you to notice in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me. And I want you to notice the wording. Lord, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, Lord. Got the right name. Know the name. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus said to them, or will say to them, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And that's another time. But when we find here in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So I skipped the verse there, I'm sorry. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Think of that. Some people's going to be disappointed. Gravely disappointed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. I pray that you'll help us now as we expound these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue through this Sermon on the Mount, remember we just finished up on the false prophets. They've been dealing with error, looking the part, but not living up to the truth. They were teaching error. So now Jesus is dealing with and giving us a lesson about some folks that are going to be trying to get their way into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and they're going to be sadly, gravely disappointed. Because he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. No doubt some of these people were sincere. No doubt some of these people put in a lot of effort. No doubt they said they cast out devils in his name. They knew the name. Obviously they had put some effort in it. They might have even been sincere, but something was missing. Something was missing. They might have been religious. Something was missing. Because the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to look unto them and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. So, here's what was missing.
They knew his name. They knew how to work. They knew how to play the part. They even called on his name. But here's the difference. They didn't know him. You've heard this before. That's why we don't need religion. It's a relationship. That's the message. These folks had religion, obviously, because they said they had prophesied in his name. They had done many wonderful works, so obviously they had some religious works. And no doubt, there's probably going to be some sincere people. But the Lord's going to look at them and say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." I'm troubled. You know, if you would poll American people today and ask them their view, their opinion, their philosophy, their belief on why they should go to heaven, you know you would get as many answers as there is flavors of ice cream. Right here in the Bible Belt of Chattanooga, Tennessee, I can go knock on doors or go to someone in the hospital or even meet someone right here that comes through those doors and we start talking about spiritual things, and I guarantee you somebody will tell me something that they're trusting that is not God's will and God's plan for salvation. If you watch the news, if you watch television, anybody that dies, they all get in. No matter how they live, no matter what they do, no matter what they've said, no matter what kind of debauchery and godless lifestyle they live, it amazes me when somebody dies, everybody gets in. But according to this passage of Scripture, someone might say, "Well, Pastor, do you have a loving God that He's going to let everybody in?" Not according to the book. There's got to be something right. There's got to be a reason for Him to let me in. There's got to be a reason for Him to let you in. By the way, He has to know you. I have to know Him personally. We'll talk about that. But I'm troubled. If we polled, and by the way, I have a poll here. It's old. 2003. The Barna Group. And I want every young person to listen to me. Because tonight we're dealing with the most important subject you'll ever deal with in your life. You might have a bad day, but it will pass. But eternity will be forever. You better listen and listen well, because you better make sure you're going. You better make sure you know the way. You better know God's will. Not my will, not your way, not the world's way, God's way. The Barna Group released a study, 2003, old, October 21st. Y'all ready for this? Concerning the matter of heaven, of those questioned, 81% believe in an afterlife of some sort. The same study found that 79% of those polled believe that every person has a soul that will live forever, either in God's presence or absence. 76% believe in a literal heaven, while 64% believe they will go to heaven when they die. But here's what's interesting. Of the 64% who believe they will go to heaven when they die, only 43% of those believe they will go to heaven because they have confessed their sins and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. 15% believe that keeping the Ten Commandments would guarantee access into heaven, while another 15% believe they will go to heaven because they are basically a good person. A smaller group, 6%, believe that God loves all people and will not let them perish. Now you go and you ask the average person here today out in the world. By the way, we're in Chattanooga. We're in the Bible Belt. There's Baptist churches on every corner. Somebody say amen. That's where we're at. But see, what's happening is the world, humanism, the philosophy of the world is permeating our thoughts. They're educating our children, And we're not, we've gotten, just as Brother Marcus said, we have gotten so far away from the Word of God and the truth. I'm alarmed. And the sad thing is, we sit in churches and we hear truth preached week in, week out, week in, week out, and we say, oh, that's just another good sermon, Pastor. What are we doing with it? We should go get so excited when we hear something truthful. It ought to change our lives. We ought to put it in our heart. And it ought to change us tonight before we go to bed. It ought to make our day tomorrow different. It ought to make us a witness. It ought to make us realize if these many people do not know the way, we walk by hundreds a week and never say a word, never hand out a tract, it ought to change our life. If people are ignorant, it's our fault. We're the light, aren't we? We're the light of the world. He's left us here to spread the good news. But boy, I've learned churches are better at spreading gossip. I wish everybody in our church and every church alike would get more excited about trying to help somebody than just trying to find out about something. Spread the gospel. Spread the truth. Why? There's only one way. The Lord's going to look at some people and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. So there goes a way that once you get it, you lose it. You can lose it because He said to them, I never knew you. So something's got to happen. We've got to know Him. Now I want you to notice, it's amazing. We see the proclamation here. He says, not everyone. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Now, I want you all to think about it. That's not my statement. That's what God says. Not everyone. The kingdom of heaven, I understand this talking about the millennial kingdom on earth, but I want to say, if you're going to be denied that, you're going to be denied the heavenly kingdom. So we understand this has eternal repercussions on it. Getting in. There's only one way to get in. Now, He denies them access to the heavenly kingdom and for all of eternity. So think about this. It goes away with that 6% of this group that says, well, we believe that God will let me in somehow. Well, the Bible says He won't. So notice He saith this. They say unto me, Lord, Lord. They spake His name. They knew His name. You know what that tells me? That tells me that somebody might think just because they know His name that they're going to be in. But do you know what? There's the difference between religion and a relationship. Now listen, I don't know our president, but I know his name. But I don't personally know him. See, there's a big difference between knowing somebody, oh yeah, I know him. Well, how do you know him? Well, I know his name. Well, wait a minute, that's not enough because we have to enter into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Religion tells you all you got to do is have His name. All you got to do is know His name. Do this ritual. Call out these names. Pray over these beads, the rosary, and the names of God. That doesn't get you in. He says, they're going to know my name. They're going to say, Lord, Lord. They're even going to call and say and use my name. But He said, I'm going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. So here's the problem. They did not know Him. Now listen to me. Church, we all know this. Teenagers, listen to me. Every adult in here tonight, listen to me. The only way in is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, here's the amazing thing. I want you to notice the obligation, the must. I want you to notice it. Notice what He says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So what's God's will? This is a beautiful way to look at it. His will means His way. God's will means His way. So God has given us His will, His way. Not my way, not the school's way, not education's way, not humanistic way. See, we want to say, oh, I know I can get to heaven, just like someone says, well, I can get to New York three or four different ways. Wait a minute, that's my way. God's way says I have one will, one way. Y'all want to read it? Would you turn with me real quick, and you need to mark in your Bible. Say, what's God's will when it comes to salvation? Look at John chapter 6, verse 40. I mean, don't get any more simple than this. Notice the must. If you're going to get into heaven, if you're going to be able to be an access into the heavenly kingdom, the earthly kingdom, then listen to me.
You've got to do the will of God. What is it? To the requirement. God's way. Not my way. God's way. You've got to do His will. Not my will. Not what somebody else tells you. What's His way? Look at verse number 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now listen, that's God's will. That's His way. So every teenager, listen to me, say, well, I think the God in heaven is going to let me go into heaven because I've been a good person. You're not going to make it. You're going in your way. You won't get in your way. You've got to go God's way. God's will is, that's why He sent His Son. That's why churches that preach the gospel, preach the Lord Jesus Christ, is so important, because they're actually giving life. The only way in. You ever heard of a VIP club? We all understand what this means. You go to a certain place, you've not been invited, you don't know who's in there. They're going to say, no, get out. Well, wait a minute, man, I can pay. No, wait, you get out, you're not on the list. Why can we understand that about places here, but why are we struggling with that getting into heaven? We got to know Him. So religion tells us, oh, you know His name, call on His name, do all this activity. Hey, you're doing these works, you're changing people's lives. That doesn't get you in. You got to know Him. Religion is not helpful, but a relationship will gain access to heaven. You got to know the one in there. You got to know the one that paid the way. And that's why it's so important when I say, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. You know what will change your life? A relationship with Jesus. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. Can I bring that down? How in the world can you be, and me, being a Christian like we ought to be, in His presence, gossiping on a telephone? We're not going to do it. See, that personal relationship, that's just like if my wife's standing there, I'm certainly not going to talk about her. See, that's why a personal relationship is so important, because that will change our life. Religion won't help you. But make this relationship that you have with the Lord. Why should I be faithful to church? Because I love Him. I'm not coming here because of duty. I have a relationship with Him. Just like I want to please my wife, I want to please Him. Why? Because He's done so much for me. And look, do I sin? Sure I sin, but do I desire to sin? No, I don't want to sin. Why? Because I love the one that loved me. I know Him. That's the Christian life. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, listen, the Christian life is a life of steps. It's a life of yielding ourselves. It's a life of giving. I'm sad to say, I've been in the ministry now 21 years. I've seen people that have been saved 30 years and they stopped giving. And I'm not talking about money. Now they've drawn a line in the sand and they said, God, I'm stopping right here. I've done enough. Have you? No, we've not. Why? That's like if I look at my wife, honey, we've been married for 40 years. I ain't doing nothing else for you. You see how silly that sounds? But that's the way we view the Christian life sometimes. No. Not if you view it as a relationship. He's my Savior. Does He walk with you? And He walks with me. And if He's talking to you, He's certainly telling you when that offering plate comes by to stick something in it. If He's talking with you, He's telling you when you're on a phone and you're talking about a subject that you shouldn't be. He's certainly telling you to stop. If you're out here in the world and you're in a place that you shouldn't be in and you know Jesus Christ, He's certainly going to tell you, you don't need to be here. You don't need to be acting this way. You don't need to be talking this way. Now listen, if you know Him, He's going to talk to you. That's what changes your life. It's not because, well, I'm afraid the preacher's going to find out. Listen, you don't need to be scared of me. We need to be in love with Him. He's the goal. So when we talk about relationship in the Christian life, I've said that, but now I've said that now for over 10 years, or right at 10 years, and I'm still wondering if people understand what I mean. If you will grasp that, it will change your life. It's not just good preaching. It's good living. And he walks with... Isn't that a relationship? And we talk. And he tells me that I'm his own. My wife tells me I'm her. Okay, I've got an obligation to her. Well, I've got an obligation to him. But see, if I've just got a religion, it's duty. It's duty. That's what the preacher said. No. It's what he's whispering to you. It's what the Holy Spirit's convicting you of. You ever been so convicted by something and nobody knows? It's him convicting you. He's speaking to you. Whether you've never got caught, you say, well, nobody knows. Why do you go to bed at sometimes at night and you can't even go to sleep? Because it's the Holy Spirit of God. Because you have a relationship with the one that saved you. He's not pleased with you. It's going to change your life, see? So it's a relationship. So we understand the thing that they missed, they had religion, they were sincere, they were calling on his name, they performed many mighty works, but the reason God looked at them said they missed the obligation, they did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You ever heard a little phrase, to know him is to love him? If you know him, you know it. If you've met Jesus Christ, you know it. So I'm thankful. There is an obligation. There must be a time in your life, my life, that you recognize you're a sinner. You need help. And by faith, you repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ by faith. Because you can't sing. You got to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you. He was born for you. He died for you. And he raised from the dead for you. He paid for your sin debt. He's the only way in. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into a relationship with him through faith. What a journey. And when you get saved, that's just the beginning. It's not the end. Some people talk like, well, I got saved, like that's the end. No, listen to me. That's just the beginning. Get ready for a wonderful journey. Once you get in, it's a lifelong journey learning about the one who loves you and growing closer to him. So we talk about this. This is important because there is an obligation. Then I want you to notice there was a proclamation, but now I want you to notice the argument. Look at verse 22. Here's what the Bible says. Go back with me. Because God's will is you got to meet his son. He said that in John 6:40. But here in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to notice. But many will say to me in verse 22, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? You know what? They're saying, listen. God says there's going to be people that's going to oppose his judgment. And they're going to argue with him. We say, how dare they? Well, wait just a second. So do we. Oh, wait a minute, God. I think. Well, God, that ain't fair. Well, I just don't believe that way. Doesn't matter what you believe. If he says it, it's right whether we believe it or not. But we argue with God. We argue with authority. We argue with what's right. We live in a day where everybody wants to make everything wrong right and everything that's right wrong. Now we have every reason. Some people go, well, I know that's what God says, but there ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, wait a minute. You're not God. I'm not God. If he says it's wrong, what is it, church? It's wrong. If he says it's right, it's what? Whether it's popular in the community or not, it's still right. We live in a day where people are just doing what they think's right, but it's amazing when you start finding out what God says is right and lining up with it. So we think about this. They're arguing with God. How are they arguing with him? Notice what they try to use, and we do the same. First of all, they're trying to argue with their wisdom. Here's what they said. We've prophesied in your name. You know what that means? They've taught. They've spoke. They knew Scripture. They could pull out Scripture. They knew the Old Testament. They might have knew the law. They even taught it. They might have known the written Word. But here's the problem. They did not know the living Word. You know, I run into people all the time and I hear them say this. Well, I know what the Bible says. But y'all ready? But. I've run into a lot of billy goats, haven't you? But. Always button. But, wait a minute, no buts. If God says it, true. So,
They knew the Bible. They knew Word. They knew the Word. But they had something missing. They had a religion. They had a form of godliness. But listen to me. They denied the power thereof. They did not know Him. There's a difference. Not a religion, a relationship. They argued with their wisdom, then they argued with their works. Look what they said. We've done many wonderful works. And God said, I don't know you. Well, wait a minute. So I hear people today say, oh, God, I tell you what, I'm going to make it. You know, before Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, before he died, you know, he was of Nation of Islam. You know what they believe? By the way, it's a false way. It's false way. The Nation of Islam will get you going. It will take you to hell. You say, why, Pastor? It's a false way. I asked Mr. Cassius Clay before he died. They asked him. He said, well, if you die, Mr. Clay, of course, they called him Muhammad Ali. He said, Mr. Ali, why do you think you're going to get to go to heaven? And here was his answer. Look it up. Well, I believe when I die, the great Allah, by the way, is a false God. Does not exist. He said, Pastor, you're awful passionate about it. Well, I know the Bible and His name ain't there. He said, well, Pastor, you really mean that there's only one way to heaven? There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. I don't think Allah is mentioned in our Bible. Muhammad, by the way, has a grave in the Middle East. You can go find it, and he's still there. Our Savior was also in a borrowed tomb, but you go over there and check him out. It's empty. So I want to say, before Muhammad Ali died, they asked him, Mr. Ali, why do you think he's going? Well, I think the great Allah has a great scales in paradise. And he said, when I die, the great Allah is going to put out all the good things that I do on one side, and he's going to put all the bad things on the other side, and whichever one outweighs the other, that's where if it's bad, I can't go to paradise, but if my good outweighs the bad, I get to go to paradise. And the man interviewing him said, well, Mr. Ali, where do you think you'll go? He said, well, I believe I've done better. I think I'll get to go to heaven. Well, I've got news for all of y'all. I know I'm going to heaven, and I don't deserve it. And it ain't certainly because of my works, because the Bible says all my works are as filthy rags. We can't do anything good enough. So I want to tell you why we do good works. We do good works because the one that loved us, and we are no good, He loved us anyway, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saved me, and because He saved me, out of my love and devotion to Him, I want to do good works because I'm saved, not to be saved. We live in a day where everybody says, oh, I got to do this, got to do this. Why? I'm not doing it to be saved. I do it because I have a Holy Spirit inside of me that convicts me to do good. Well, there's so much difference in that. We live in a day where people try to say, well, I tell you what, I get to go there because I've done this and I've done that. And I'm going to look at them and say, look, I ain't done any of that, but I'll tell you what I have done. I'm washed clean through the way, through the precious Son of God. That's God's way. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have a personal relationship with Him. So we see that they tried to argue because of their works. And everywhere you go here in Chattanooga, somebody's going to tell you they're going to get to go to heaven because they've been baptized. Somebody's going to tell you, well, I'm going to get to, why are you going to get to go to heaven? Well, because I believe in the Ten Commandments. Depart from me. Listen to me. The only way is through Jesus. It's clear. Depart from me. So they argue with Him with their wisdom, their works. Then notice this. They're witness. He said they've done all these things in His name. He said, we've done all these things. We've cast out devils. We've prophesied in Your name. So here's what I thought about that. They were sincere. But they were sincerely wrong. Stay with me and we're going to close. I can't imagine September 11th, 2001. Do you know that there were men that were so sincere in their religion that they came here to this country, learned how to fly planes, to get on those planes, to fly them in our buildings, and thousands of people were dead because of these men. But here's the thing that nobody wants to talk about. Why did they do it? their religion told them to. You know what they were promised? If they killed the infidel, they was promised heaven. They were promised paradise. People of Islam don't believe in heaven. They call it paradise. Do you know what paradise is for the Islam, for the Muslim? Now listen, ladies, y'all listen to me. Because it's not a very attractive place for ladies. Ladies have no right in the Islam's heaven. You know what those men were promised? All the wine they could drink and all the women they could want. They took those planes, flew those planes, those buildings. Now listen to me. The very moment that that plane crashed and those men's souls were required of them, they died in a fiery plane to wake in a fiery hell forever. Say, Pastor, you're casting judgment on them. I'm not, God is. He said, depart from me, for I never knew you. So I want to say to you, how many of y'all know Jesus? I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Wish I knew that song, I'd sing it for you. Y'all know Jesus? You're in the way. Now don't tell your faces that. Don't be excited tonight. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to get access into heaven. Because you don't have a religion. Are you perfect? Absolutely not. But you've met a perfect Savior. You've came in God's way. God's will is to meet His Son. Because here's the sad thing. These folks that had a religion but not a relationship, they were separated, Brother Don. The Bible said, look here. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There was a separation. Depart from him. Those are the saddest words that I've ever read in the Bible. I never knew you. That doesn't mean that he did not know their existence. God knows everybody's existence. But you know what he meant by that? He didn't know him as one of his children. The only way you can become one of God's children is meet his son. And you meet his son by faith. You don't meet his son by getting baptized. You don't meet his son by trying to turn over a new leaf. You meet his son by coming down an old-fashioned aisle or even sitting in your pew. And as you're convicted in your soul and say, you know what, I don't know if I die, I'm going to heaven. And you know you're a sinner. Nobody has to be told they're a sinner. We all know that we're bad people. Our sin has to be paid for. Jesus Christ paid for your sin. Young people, I hope everybody's listening. I would definitely not be the one to keep somebody from listening. Because that could be required of you later. We have visitors here. I certainly wouldn't be talking to any of them while the message is going on. Because they might be sitting here in the pew and they might be lost. So the most important message they hear is what they hear tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't, I'd get to know him tonight. You're in a good place. Someone can take the Bible. They'll show you from the Bible how to know Christ. But if you have this feeling in your heart, it's called conviction. And you know what he's preaching. Something's going on down here and you can't really explain it. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a God in heaven that loves you and he's trying to get your attention. He wants to save you because he doesn't wish that any perish, but all come to the knowledge of the saving of his son. He wants you to meet Jesus tonight. That's his son, and he'll save you. If you're here tonight, I wouldn't walk out of these doors unless I knew for sure Jesus Christ as my Savior. Not a religion, but have a relationship with him. Head bowed and eyes closed as we close tonight.